This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, and we talk about hunting, and we talk about the great outdoors. What would you like to talk about today? As long as it's in one of those subjects, we're more than glad to talk about it. Brian is our call screener this morning. He's waiting to take your call here at WCBM 680, our phone number. 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. The 800 number is good in Maryland. It's good for anybody in Maryland who's outside the local Baltimore dialing area. Other than that, you're going to have to hit your 1 and 410, or just hit 410-922-6680, and we'll be more than glad to take your call. We'd like to hear from you about anything involving the outdoors, wildlife, crabbing, fishing, eating wild things, whatever you'd like to talk about. We're here to take your calls. We have been diligently working all this week on the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine, including some suggestions from you folks. Excuse me, wheezing a little bit this morning. Forgive me. We are just ready to go to the printers this weekend. It'll be out next week, and we will... there's a excellent question, and we'll answer that just a second. But we're working on that very, very diligently, and I think you'll enjoy it if you get the chance to see it. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good people. Thanks to the folks at the Department of Natural Resources, and we'll read all their names eventually for the contribution into the... Maryland Loves Crabs magazine, and we thank those of you for your contribution as well that did. Let's see. Sandy in Baltimore. Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just curious, where do the deer go in the summer? I used to see them so much in the winter, but in the summer I don't see them at all.
Well, they're in the same places they are in the winter. A deer has a very small home range. Why you don't see them so much in the summer, there are two reasons. The bucks and the does separate. Usually after about March, April, you'll stop seeing them so much together because the does are getting ready to have their fawns. So the does are with their fawns primarily, and that's a full-time job for them. Usually they give birth to two. And they will stash those fawns in different places. It's a survivability thing. And those places that they place their fawns may be 200 yards apart, let's say. So the doe kind of takes up a position of keeping an eye on both of them, listening for them to call, feeding them, that type of thing. And that takes place primarily in a little more cover than you would think. You know, the higher fields and the fields that have grown up, the hay fields and things like that, into along the edges of the woods. And you'll oftentimes see a single doe in the evenings, walking along the edge of the wood line or something like that. The bucks are in a very sensitive state because their antlers are growing right now. Their antlers are soft and very sensitive to damage, so they're not aggressive. They're very docile. The testosterone level is at its lowest point, so there's no aggression there. There's no even hint of trying to do any breeding or anything like that. That takes place later in the fall. So they're just simply hanging out together, grabbing a bite to eat here and there, staying cool, staying near water, staying near food, And they're hanging out in bachelor groups. Now, in about a month or so, you're going to see those does and the fawns. The fawns will be big enough to travel with the doe. You'll see those family groups back together, and then you'll see a bunch of bucks together, like I said, in about a month or so, called bachelor groups. And you'll see that the horns have started to form and started to branch, and the antlers, excuse me, but they're still growing till they get to right around the 1st of September, where they eventually start to harden and the testosterone level starts to rise and they get prepared for breeding. So that's why you don't see them in the summer. Bucks are growing their antlers, which are very susceptible to insect bites and damage and that type of thing. And then the does are taking care of their fawns. And all that takes place pretty much in cover.
Okay, thank you so much.
Does that give you the explanation you were looking for?
Because I used to see so many in the backyard, and now I'm like, where are they?
Oh, yeah, they're around, and they're primarily going to be there at night. They're not going to get up and expend a bunch of energy during the heat of the day. Like I said, they stay close to sources of water, and maybe the food sources in the woods are what they need now, the soft forbs, the emerging weeds and things like that, the plants that they like to eat are more so in the woods and along the edges rather than out into the fields and that type of thing, or even in your backyard. So they're there. You just don't see them. They're probably there, at nighttime and that type of thing. So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Sandy. Thanks for the question. Appreciate it. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Hope that answered the question. And anybody who has anything to add, we're welcome to do that. How many of you heard in all the news of the day, how many of you heard that the farm bill passed? How many of you heard that three bills that were sportsman friendly did not pass? Very interesting. One of the things that was recommended by a House panel, the Interior, Environment, and Related Agencies Appropriations Subcommittee passed a bill on Thursday out of subcommittee that would cut funding for key conservation programs of importance to waterfowl. This is from Ducks Unlimited. The greatest importance to Ducks Unlimited is a $22.3 million appropriation for the North American Wetlands Conservation Act. That is NACA. It is a $13 million cut from last fiscal year. Let's talk to Tom on the Beltway. Good morning, Tom. How you doing? Tom, you're up.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good, you?
Oh, so far so good. Kind of a weird question for you. What size chokes on a shotgun can you shoot slugs through or not through?
There is a specialty choke for slugs. It's a rifled slug choke. And I'm not sure how many different, there's like three different chokes. The Browning Winchester chokes are basically the same. Remington's on its own. Beretta's on its own. But do you have a shotgun that has a smoothbore barrel that you're trying to get some choke performance or some slug performance out of?
Well, no, I've got a shotgun. I got double check what the chokes are up on it. But if I take it out in the woods and say I'm doing some birding, but then I run into something bigger where I need a slug to put it down, I don't want to sit there and damage my shotgun if I decide I need to throw a slug through there.
Like, what would that be? Because other than snow geese and a few upland birds, there's not much in the woods during the deer season. There's not much lapse in the season. What are you talking about, something bigger and want to put it down? That's what interests me.
Say it again?
You say if you see something bigger and want to put it down, what would that be? I mean, tell me about that.
In case you run to, say, a wolf, bear, coyote, something like that.
Uh-huh. And where would you be doing this, Tom?
Western Maryland or maybe out west.
Uh-huh. So you would be concerned about a bear and want to put a slug through your shot, or a wolf or a coyote, if you're bird hunting, let's say you're hunting rough grouse out in western Maryland. Is that the nature of the question?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Other than a coyote, which I would carry buckshot for, I wouldn't even carry a slug in any of those upland seasons, because I wouldn't want to be tempted to try and convince a natural resource police officer that I was attacked by a bear. And you really don't need to worry too much about wolves and or mountain lions in western Maryland. There are none. And a coyote will take a load of bird shot or buckshot. And as far as a bear is concerned, same deal with the buckshot. But I just would kind of stay my distance, and that thought wouldn't even cross my mind. I think I'd take pepper spray before I'd even think about carrying a slug if I'm bird hunting.
Oh, that sounds good.
How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think you can buy pepper spray specifically for bears in a pretty good sized canister that reach right out there, and it will take care of them.
All righty, thank you, sir.
All right, Tom, thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, you don't want to go looking for trouble. Honestly, let's talk to Judy in Lutherville. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. I may be calling the wrong show. Maybe I should be calling the garden show.
Why?
I have a side lot. It's never been developed, and I'd like to put it in a garden.
Okay.
And I wonder if you know any deer repellent. Now, I think the answer might be a very tall fence, because if I get the deer away, I'm still going to have squirrels and rabbits.
Well, that's true, and groundhogs, that's for sure.
Yeah, oh, I got them, too.
Yeah.
And raccoons.
Yeah, me too. Well, the answer to your question is there are some commercial repellents available. Their primary ingredient is rotten eggs.
Really?
Uh-huh. Dried eggs mixed with some type of soluble powder that you mix up in water and spray it. And that's primarily the repellent for deer. But if you've already got deer on the property, if you've already got wildlife like that around, you're probably not going to have a tremendous success in your garden without a very high fence.
Tall fence.
Yeah, very tall fence. Now, there are repellents that you can put on the fences. There are these balls that you can order online that look like they're bright colored, and they look like big eyeballs that that you suspend and they spin that seem to repel the deer for a while because they think they're big predator eyes looking at them. You know, there's that type of mechanical device. As far as any
problem with the squirrels. They'll climb over stuff. They'll jump and climb trees.
There's no stopping a squirrel.
I probably have to get rid of the trees, because as long as they're there, I put in a flower garden about 10 years ago,
yeah.
And it was starting to do swimmingly well. And when 4th of July, I'm sitting on the sideline watching the 4th of July fireworks from College Manor, and all of a sudden this squirrel came jumping out of a tree,
yep.
And took out the entire garden.
Yep. Yeah, it sounds like a Rambo squirrel to me if he did that. What do you have?
Oh, yeah, he was Rambo.
Do you have a machete, or what did he use to take the entire garden out with?
He just hit the ground and slid.
He did what?
He just kind of slid on the ground, just took it out.
Must not have been a real big garden if one squirrel can take it out in a slide.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was just a little strip of flowers.
Oh, okay, I got you.
It wasn't an entire garden.
Yeah, was the squirrel being chased?
I don't think so.
No, because twice a year you'll notice if you observe squirrels, twice a year they tend to chase each other a lot, and you'll have two or three males chasing a female, and they'll go round and round and round the trees.
Well, maybe that could have happened, because I just sat her down in the chair, and this happened, and she laughed, and then she clapped her hands, and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, and I wish I had it back so I could have it happen again." She was so entertained by that.
Well, that's good. See, now that's a good memory. I mean, it's not good that you lost the flowers, but it's a good memory that you have.
There's an upside to every downside.
Let's hope so.
And vice versa. There really is. But thank you so much.
Wish I could help. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I like those kind of questions. Yes, I do. Hey, speaking of gardens, Let me tell you what, summer is the time for picnics and family get-togethers, camping trips. Summer's corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes, and summer's cold, juicy watermelons. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they like to steam their corn on the cob with their crabs for a great family dinner. Well, if you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, I'd like to recommend Schillinger Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready. There's squash and zucchini, peppers and onions, green beans and cucumbers. Oh, man, cucumbers and onions. Slice those bad boys real thin. Put them in vinegar and water. Oh, good grief. Mouth-watering cantaloupes and sweet watermelons, too. Papa John's Farm, located off I-97, exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. The phone number, 410-969-8810. Now, Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number, again, is 410-969-8810. Order your corn, your tomatoes, your watermelon for your family reunion or get-together from Papa John's Farm. 410-969-8810. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. Tell them you heard it from me. It'll grow on you. Yes, it will. Hey, fish bones, bait and tackle. Now, you know, I just mentioned corn on the cob and steam crabs. Well, Fish Bones Bait and Tackle has the crab steamers that can handle that. They have steamers, stainless steel, with their name on it, with a basket and a lid, made right here in Maryland. Half bushel size, and bushel and a half. If you want to steam a bushel of crabs in one steamer, you can do it. You layer the crabs, you put your seasoning layer by layer by layer, and on top, put a dozen ears of sweet corn, man, from Papa John's Farm. Fish Bones has them. And all the crabbing supplies you can need, want, or imagine. Bait and tackle for fishing, crabbing. Custom-tied bucktails and lures, you need to check it out. 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. Hit Mountain Road. Head towards Gibson Island. 2.5 miles on the right-hand side. Fish Bones, bait and tackle. 410-360-0573. Give my buddy Bud a call for an accurate and up-to-date fishing report at 410-360-0573 for Fish Bones.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
On the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, when troubles surround us, when evils come. Spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He sends down his love, on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow.
All right, there we go. from Ducks Unlimited again, the cut in the NACA funds, which is the North American Wetlands Conservation Act. While we understand the spending constraints the House Appropriations Committee is operating under, we're disappointed with the spending level recommended for the North American Wetlands Conservation Fund in the subcommittee's bill, said the CEO of Ducks Unlimited, Dale Hall. Dale's a nice guy, by the way. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's really a nice guy. He used to be with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service director, and good guy, really good guy. NACA leverages a, and he knows Washington inside and out, I will tell you that. NACA leverages a modest investment of federal dollars with significant non-federal dollars from partner organizations like Ducks Unlimited to deliver exemplary on-the-ground wetlands conservation across the nation. This appropriations plan is not good for conservation or the economy, which is strongly benefited by outdoor recreationists. That would be you and I as an outdoor recreationist. Since NACA, the program, was put into effect, just over $1 billion in federal grants have been leveraged to collect an additional $3 billion in matching and non-matching funds. These dollars have been invested in more than 2,000 projects that has resulted in the conservation of more than 25 million acres of critical waterfowl and, waterfowl and wildlife habitat across North America. I'll let you comment on that. If you're a Ducks Unlimited member, you can follow up with that on ducks.org if you'd like. And you can see where you want to go with that. However, the Farm Bill does include a lot of funding for conservation. But in our House of Representatives and the committee that controls the spending, they found some cuts necessary to make, and it doesn't necessarily bode well for wildlife. I will say this. We got to hear through the grapevine that as far as our Department of Natural Resources is concerned, you know, the budget year ends on the end of June, going into the 1st of July. There's not a lot of money for a lot of special projects. And there are programs that are projects that are just not going to be funded because there's no money. There's no money in the budget. Remember what I told you when the hunting license increase came about, that whole big controversy came about. The only public money that goes into wildlife here in Maryland was $248,000, and that was committed to the Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry program. That was given to that organization, $250,000. For the venison donation program, that is the only taxpayer money that was given to wildlife. The rest of the funding comes from license sales, which haven't increased. The licenses haven't increased in 22 years. Your hunting license has not increased in 22 years. And the matching federal funds, what they call the Pittman-Robertson funds or the Wildlife Restoration Act. Those funds come from a formula designed many, many years ago that is kicked back to the states based on the 11% federal excise tax on guns and ammunition and on archery tackle. That's it. That's how our wildlife folks are funded in this state. Now, when you take into consideration, we're a tiny state in comparison to folks like Pennsylvania and Virginia and even West Virginia, you know, and our resources, though, however, are far, far more varied than a lot of those. In the West, we've got deer, we've got bear, we've got, you know, fur bears, we've got game birds out in Western Maryland, upland birds and things like that. Come back through the middle of the state, a tremendous deer population, a growing bear population. We've, again, got fur bears, and we're talking about, you know, the things like the raccoons and the beavers and the groundhogs and the, you know, that foxes and that type of thing, squirrels, rabbits, and then you come back, that's forest game. You come back through the center part of the state, we start getting into more waterfowl habitat, up and down the shores of the Chesapeake Bay. We got Canada geese, we got all types of migratory game, sea ducks. You head to the eastern shore, abundant deer, abundant waterfowl. We've got some protected species over there, like the Delmarva fox squirrel, things like that. We've got a tremendous amount of public land on the lower shore that's managed by our wildlife service. Same thing in the extreme western Maryland. Many, many, many acres of public land that is managed under wildlife. And we've had taxpayers pay for very little of that. Very, very little of that. It is the 100,000 or so hunters and the 700,000 fishermen or however many it is. I can't even tell you how many it is. I forget the numbers. I don't have it at my fingertips. But it's about $1 billion a year that we put into our own our own sports, our own efforts, our own fishing, our own hunting that we pay for on our own as participants and don't ask the taxpayers for a damn thing. Okay? So as the public funding has dried up, the taxpayer dollars have dried up, as the cost of doing business have increased, something has to give, whether it's personnel, whether it's programs. And right now, so far, it's only programs. It's been very little personnel in this round of budget cuts, but we'll see. I mean, we know that the enforcement arm, the Natural Resources Police, their funding has been cut tremendously. Their guys are retiring right and left. They're not replacing the guys that are retiring. One guy will be in Anne Arundel County patrolling the waters around Annapolis in the morning, and in the afternoon he's on foot over on the Eastern Shore patrolling the public waterways over there on foot. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of expense going on through our fish and game departments here, or wildlife and fisheries, so to speak. So, fisheries, not too bad. We had a fishing license increase here a couple of years ago, and many more fishermen than there are hunters, of course, and the programs there are not bad. They get funding, also federal funding on fishing, which is the 11% excise tax on fishing tackle and some boat motor fuel. That's called the Wallop Bro Funds or the Sport Fish Restoration Act. Same deal. But, far more participants, far more license income coming in. Let's talk to Gunter in Towson. Good morning, Gunter. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Yourself?
Thank you. Fine.
A couple of weeks ago, I think you mentioned something about cuckoo birds. I understand they're not the same as we have in Europe. Were you ever in Europe to hear cuckoos?
Sure, of course, yeah.
You have?
I've heard of the cuckoo clock. Yeah, I've understood. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how close that is to what they're called, but
it's not that close.
Not at all. Huh? Yeah.
When they sing out that cuckoo, it's really a nice melody, and it's very loud and long, and not that short. But that being said, I had an argument with a guy one time. He said, "Oh, you kidding me? That's ridiculous! It's just in the cuckoo clock." I said, "No, we actually have built a sound somewhat like that."
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And we do have American cuckoos as well. And the reason I brought that up is we have a frequent emailer from Baltimore who sends me pictures of a lot of things that he sees in the outdoors, and he sent me a video of a cuckoo bird here in Maryland that I think caught a fish. And they're pretty predatory. I mean, they're not the docile little bird seed eating critters that you would think. I'd caught a fish and was whacking it around on a branch, killing it before it ate it.
And well, they're about as over there. They're about as big as a pigeon.
Yeah, they're pretty good size.
Yeah.
These are a little bit about. Pardon me. These are about the size of a mourning dove.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
But here they don't sound like we have, like the cuckoo, do they?
I don't know. I don't know the difference.
Uh-huh.
I
But when you
now, let me ask you.
Spring, you really hear them out sound, and it's
yeah, now,
really nice.
Now, Gunter, do the birds, the cuckoos in Europe, do they have the big spots on the back of their tails?
Well, I can't tell you that.
On the underside of their tails.
You never see them. I mean, I never have seen one, but often I have heard them, and it's real loud, and the melody is quite nice.
Yeah, know? they're pretty bird, yeah. No question about it. Yeah.
But they don't sound like that here, do they?
I don't know the difference between them, to be honest with you, Gunter.
I wonder how they have to name a cuckoo if they don't sound like that. But anyway, that's the way it is. I don't want to hold you short.
No, that's all right. No, we'll see what we can find.
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There goes Gunter. There's a question I can't answer because I've never heard a European cuckoo compared to an American cuckoo. Maybe our producer could Google bird sounds and see if we can come up with the sound of a cuckoo bird. You're not going to do that, are you? I didn't think so. Well, speaking of Gunter, here's a Grace Gunter from Ellicott City who caught a big old rainbow trout, 21 inches from the south branch of the Patapsco in Carroll County. And Ari Schesher from Swanton caught a 10.5-inch rock bass. I caught a 10.5-inch rock bass one time from Deep Creek Lake. We caught it from Savage River Dam. And Thomas Clark caught from Falston, caught a 16-inch crappie in the gunpowder. And Jack Edwards from Bel Air caught a 41.5-inch striped bass in Solomon's. And Richard Gower from Hagerstown caught a 22.25-inch largemouth from Little Seneca Lake. And Cody Breeden from Hancock caught a 21-inch rainbow. And Chuck Matheny from Odenton caught a yellow perch from Pamunkey Creek, 14 inches. James Lath from Eldersburg caught a 41-inch striped bass in Solomon's. And John Butler from Bel Air caught a 23.5-inch largemouth from Falston. Well, all those folks are registered their citation catch in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. And that's all you have to do, too, is go fishing for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like a boat, motor, trailer, rig from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. Now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. Again, that website, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? And let's not forget, Diamond Jim's out there swimming around, too. You catch a tagged rockfish, it could be worth $10,000. www.dnr.maryland.gov, the Maryland Fishing Challenge for 2012. All right, let's talk about something different. A sunroom. Very simple thing. A lot of people have them. But a lot of people would like to do some improvements to their home. You know, in this economy, you don't want to move necessarily. But you do want to maybe give yourself a little more room. Well, why not? Why not think about a sunroom? It's a place where you can read or entertain your friends or family year round in a relaxing, stress free setting. And they're built a whole lot differently than traditional construction because at Sunrooms Inc., the talented craftsmen can make your ideas come alive in a tailor-made, all-season sunroom that blends with your home and provides a climate-controlled room where you can enjoy nature even on the worst days. Sunrooms, Inc. has years of experience and uses the most up-to-date energy-efficient materials and windows. I've personally visited a Sunrooms, Inc. job site, and I watched as they constructed a custom Energy Star-rated sunroom with a lifetime warranty for a homeowner in Anne Arundel County. The quality, the workmanship, the materials were tremendous. Simply put, Sunrooms Inc. has the best sunroom technology, the most sunroom options, custom sunroom installation, a lifetime warranty on all their sunrooms, and certified installer. Sunrooms Inc. They can visit you and give you an estimate anywhere in Maryland, Delaware, Southern Pennsylvania. Visit the website sunroomsinc.net, sunroomsinc.net, or call toll-free 800-401-3074 to learn more about your new sunroom.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Uptown got its hustlers, Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim Walker, he a bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because. And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't speak.
angel and you don't mess around with Jim.
Don't mess around with Jim. That's right. 410 WCBM 680, 1-800-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number, 922-6680, that's 410, or 800-922-6680. Here is your smart, green, and growing tip of the week by the Department of Natural Resources. Now they want to be in your bathroom. Shower power. A full bathtub requires about 70 gallons of water, but taking a five-minute shower saves water by using 10 to 25 gallons. Put a little timer or clock near your shower so you can see how fast you are. Save even more water and money on your water bill by installing a water-efficient shower head or ask your landlord to install one if you rent. What do you think? Or just not shower like Brian does. Let's see. That'll work, right? That's why you're behind that glass and I'm over here. Exactly. Let's see. What did we read here this week? What's going on? Yeah. I wanted to find something out here about something. Oh, yes. Bloody Dam. Those of you who live near Bloody Dam, the Maryland Department of Natural Resources and partners have released an analysis evaluating the pros and cons of keeping, improving, or removing Bloody Dam and are looking for citizens to share their input. The possible removal of Bloody Dam is part of a larger, more comprehensive effort to restore 43 miles of stream habitat for migratory and resident fish. The Patapsco River Restoration Project started with the removal of Union Dam in September 2009. Secretary John Griffin, we're considering removing the structure because it restricts fish and aquatic organisms from moving freely through the river. While the dam is a special feature of the park, its elimination would also make the area safer for boaters, swimmers, and other recreational users. The Patapsco once supported large runs of shad, herring, and American eels, but several dams have blocked these historic migrations. Fish ladder was constructed at Bloody Dam in the 90s with the hope of allowing fish to pass around the dam, but that ladder has proven ineffective at passing fish, especially the American eel. Since the removal of the Union and the Simpkins dams, fish have started using the habitat reopened to them, said Marty Andrews of the NOAA, N-O-A-A Restoration Center. We're delighted that NOAA's investment, that's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, that's the feds, we're delighted that the federal investment in the Patapsco River is paying off, and we're eager to weigh the options and the alternatives with the help of the public on how we can further increase fish habitat on the river. We are anticipating a similar outcome if it's decided that the Bloody Dam will be removed. However, we're currently weighing the options and alternatives and are seeking ideas and suggestions from park users and other interested members of the public. So, Bloody Dam is owned by the DNR. It's located in Patapsco Valley State Park. You've seen it. DNR is accepting online input and two open houses, one on June 28th, that's this coming Thursday, from 2 to 8 p.m., and Friday from 9 to 4 at the Catonsville Public Library, 1100 Frederick Road in Catonsville. Comments are suggested. Suggestions are due by August 31st. And you can read a complete copy of the draft and more information. It's available at the website. And if you'd like that link, I mean, you can just go to the DNR website. If you'd like that link, I'll be more than glad to send it to you. Contact with me through email is very simple. It's Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, at ellisoutdoors.com. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. I don't have a clue. I haven't been following it. But we will find out. I've been curious about it. I just haven't followed up on it. I've been just so darn busy. Somebody wanted to know what's the latest on the conceal to carry law. I know that that the attorney general was fighting that, but I don't know where we are. I'll have to call my buddy at. Well, maybe we can check here during the break. Maybe we can check online and see what Maryland shall issue has to say. Maryland Shall Issue is the website, .org. But we're taking your phone calls, 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM 680. If you'd like to comment on any of your own smart, green, and growing tips, we'd be more than welcome to hear from you about whether or not you take a bath or a shower. We know that's at the top of your list. Today, to think about, I know every time I walk in the bathroom, I have to think, let's see, do I want a shower? Do I want a bath? Do I want a shower? Do I want a bath? And water conservation is utmost on my mind. Utmost. How about you, Brian? Don't you make that decision every time you walk in? Shower, bath, shower, bath, shower, bath. Okay. see, that's how important it is. Here's the situation. I know that I'm saving water because I had my bathtub taken out a couple of years ago. All I have is a shower. So see how conservative I am? See how environmentally friendly I am? I'm just saying. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Bloaty Dam, public meetings coming up. And also on Thursday, by the way, Diamond Jim is going to be there's going to be more Diamond Jims caught and tagged and put out there in the bay for capture, let's hope. Tagged rockfish. Thursday's the day. More fish are going to be tagged, and that will be for the July contest. Of course, immediately after they're released, they will qualify. Anybody catches one for the July prize, which, if nobody has caught Diamond Jim by the end of June, will go to $20,000. That's right, $20,000. Let me give you a little explanation here. It's the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and from now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim, who we keep talking about, is a tagged rockfish. From now through the end of June, he's worth $10,000. He's swimming in the Chesapeake Bay waiting to take your bait, whatever that might be. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there. These are all tagged rockfish. They have a bright green spaghetti tag hanging out their belly. Now, the imposters are worth $500 a piece. So if you catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, call the number on the tag. Don't pull the tag out of the fish. Just keep the fish. All the tagged fish are over legal size. And you might just have captured a $10,000 prize. Somebody from DNR will come out. They'll check the fish. They'll record the number. They'll check the database and see where you are with that. Now, you may be lucky enough to win or catch the Maryland Diamond Jim. $10,000 before the end of June. If not, it'll be $20,000 before the end of July. If not caught, will be $25,000 by the end of August. So, if you're lucky enough to catch a citation size fish, it may or may not be Diamond Jim, you certify your catch. You're also in the contest, and you'll be invited to the grand finale. You could be one of the winners of the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, a vacation from the World Fishing Network, a great vacation. Stop by your local fishing citation center. There are more than 60 species of fish. They're in the freshwater ponds and rivers. They're tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, on the Atlantic coast. There's a number of different categories, all those species, about 80 different categories that could qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center. That's probably the place where you got your fishing license. Or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim and honoring this year Maryland's own Lefty Cray. www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Well, I hope so. I hope so. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And now it's time. Not only am I going to ask about your bathtub, I want to know what's in your bed. But not the one at home. I want to know what's in your truck bed. Is it unprotected, or do you just think it is? It's one of those drop-in, slide-in, floppy old unattached bed liners that allow dirt and water and rust to get into your bed. Well, I recommend that you protect your truck bed with a Linex protective spray-on bed liner offered by Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. Have one in this truck? That was the first stop I made after buying the truck. Had one in the old truck for as long as I owned it. I think it was 7 or 8 years. Well, Linex is the best available protective coating on the market, period. Now, it comes in the standard black or shiny finish if you like that, but it also comes in the custom Linex Extra, which is the color-coded match your truck or match or contrast, whatever. I mean, if you have an orange truck and you want a black bed liner in there, if you have a black truck and want an orange bed liner in there, no problem. The added protection of Kevlar to the Extra and the color coating will make your truck look great no matter what. Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one in customer satisfaction, and they have a nationwide lifetime warranty. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie has a mobile service, too, that can come to your job site, your farm, your home. They can spray things like your deck or your underground tanks or your underground holding tanks, secondary containment, styrofoam, anything that needs done, Linex can come and spray it. They do lift gates and tow trucks and trailers, you know, horse trailers, floor trailers, give them a nice non-slip finish and that type of thing. If you'd like to know more, visit Bay Linex of Glen Burnie online at baylinex.com, baylinex.com, or stop by. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road off Ritchie Highway or just off Beltway Exit 3A. Don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-0199. Ask for Bobby Hawkins. He'll probably answer the phone. Do what I do. Invest in a Linex spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. Mention the Outdoors and Radio Show, Ellis Outdoors. Learn how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card. That number again, 410-789-0199. Linex at Glen Burnie, now more than just bed liners. Do we have any callers on the line, Mr. Producer? The lines are open, so anybody who can call, who would like to call can call and get in right away immediately, if not sooner. 410-922-6680 with your fish or wildlife questions, fishing, hunting adventures, crabbing, tips or techniques, or any questions that you might have. We are standing by. Please, please allow Brian to earn his paycheck. At least for the next 5 minutes while he's on duty. And then Pat joins us. All right. While we're waiting, let me tell you about Sean Mann, seanmann.com. Sean Mann was born and bred here on the Maryland's Eastern Shore, and he grew up hunting with his dad, Bill, who owned a gun shop in Easton. And Sean became interested in goose hunting, and he was fascinated by the calling of the geese and how it attracted them into gun range. So Sean went out and created his own goose call. And in 1985, he won the world championship with a call that he invented called the Eastern Shoreman. It was a very long call, a tube, very unusual looking, but he won his championship with that, and the Eastern Shoreman is still available today, 27 years later. He started the long call revolution, and now you can get in on it. Yep, very seriously, you can get in on it. The Eastern Shoreman is one of the easiest goose calls to learn to operate. It does reproduce all the calls of a wild goose. That's right, a Canada goose. And you can learn how to use it very quickly, very simply. You can visit them online at www.seanmann.com, or you can call the office, 800-345-4539. That's 800-345-4539. Log on to seanmann.com. Or even stop by your local waterfowl shop and ask them to demonstrate an Eastern Shoreman goose call from SeanMann.com. You'll enjoy learning to use it. And if you don't have one, put one in your arsenal. If you already know how to blow a call, well, get an Eastern Shoreman. You can learn how to use that one, too. Let's talk to Melanie in Dundalk. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
Hey, Alan. How are you?
Good.
It's the tent lady.
Hey, the tent lady. What's going on?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. I'm glad to hear you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Well, Alan, I have a solar-powered shower, if you really want to know who takes a bath, who takes a shower.
Too much information there, Melody.
Thank God for the sun.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, good. Yeah, so you are saving water, of course.
Of course.
Well, that's great.
I'm very economy-minded.
Yes. Well, good. Well, well, good. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was one I didn't expect. Walt in Catonsville, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Alan.
What's up?
I got a couple questions for you.
I'll try.
Just got my little John boat up and running.
Yeah.
And I want to take some couple kids out crabbing and maybe catch a couple rockfish.
Okay.
And I tested my boat yesterday, and actually I did catch one about 16 or 17-inch rockfish.
Good for you. Good.
One in Alabama.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could give me a location that I might be able to. I got a 1,000-foot trout line.
Okay.
And I'm going to use a chicken necks.
Yep. Okay.
I'm wondering if you might have a spot where I could lay that line and maybe troll around a little bit and get the kids catching some perch or.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a great idea. Take the fishing rod when you're out there. You're out there with a trot line while you're waiting for the crabs to come up. You can do some perch fishing. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple of. Are you computer savvy, Walt?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I was going to tell you, there's an entire section on the boating website for DNR that lists all the boat ramps. But what I would do would be do a little investigation. I would recommend that right now the Y River is going to be your best place. Mm-hmm. And there is a landing down there. Why landing?
I'm familiar.
Yeah, you can launch your boat right there. Why go anywhere else? Those are the best crabs in Maryland.
Yeah, that's true.
The best crabs in Maryland, and that's where I would recommend right there. But there's Crab Alley on Kent Island. There's all kinds of little places up and down the eastern shore and the western shore where you can go crabbing.
Would that be Smith's down there?
Smith's what?
Launching ramp down there at Kent Island.